But she'd believed Kalamar was better than that. More settled. More civilized. On the surface only, it seemed. Even as they descended the freestanding, spiraling staircase that led down through a large, poorly lit cavern, the scent of violence, excitement, and desperation reached her. Human sweat, Kravaki must, the sweetness of a Sith's blood. The smells filled the cavern, rising on wafts of noxious heat from the tumult below. The tavern was built across the cavern floor, 30 meters beneath the streets. Its focal point was a deep trough in the floor, a natural pit in which two combatants fought. One was a big human with an extra set of arms grafted on his hips. The other was a Wookiee, pelt patchy, hide lacerated. And around his neck was a heavy control collar, lights flickering as electrical pulses urged him into greater fury. His screams were as much of pain as anger. He carried a metal-studded club, and it was already glistening with scraps of the human's flesh. "This is culture?" Lannery asked as they descended the last curve of staircase.
"The ass end of it," Tree said. "You grow used to it. They use mostly criminals and murderers. That's what they say, anyway. I try not to question it."
He glanced back at her, and his three leku touched and turned, telling her, "A good place to remain anonymous." As much as she hated to admit it, that was probably more true than even Tree knew. Because not only was the pits filled with all manner and race of people, it was also somewhere that leveled everyone. Every patron was here for the drink and the fight. A person not riled up, drunk, and filled with bloodlust would stand out. It would be easy for Lannery to see anyone following them. They reached the floor, and Tree shouldered his way to the nearest bar. There were several placed around the pit, and most were doing brisk business. Lannery followed, senses alert, hand on her hip close to her sword. A thud, a gargled scream, and a shout. Hands waved, and the crowd roared. Betting chips were illuminated, and across the other side of the pit, several gambling pods were rushed as people went to claim their winnings. Lannery had no desire to see, but still she stood on tiptoes to look down into the pit. The Wookiee was leaning against one wall with blood caking his ragged beard. For a moment she thought he was the loser, but then a mechanical arm swung down and speared the human's corpse, hauling it out, swinging it over the heads of the crowd, and flinging it into shadows at the cavern's extremes. She heard a splash, and then a frenzy of movement as unseen creatures made short work of the vanquished. She closed her eyes and breathed deeply. Every decent shred of her Jedi self wanted to close this place down, and her very basic human side wanted only to leave. But this was an easy place to cast her senses around, and every mind she touched was transparent to her. Base emotions flooded the pits. Unpleasant emotions, true, such as she had learned to control many years ago during her Jedi training, but simple to read for any threat or sense of being observed. Tree nudged her arm and handed her a drink.
"Not the best wine on Kalamar."
"You surprise me." She took the glass and looked around. "You come here often?"
"No,"
Tree said. Perhaps that was disgust in his voice. "These places are allowed?"
"Tolerated. They channel aggression, and the Council of Rahol Yon welcomes that. So they turn a blind eye."
"How civilized," Lannery said. "You really are an inclusive society."
"It's not my society. I just come here from time to time."
He took a sip.
"Anyway, don't judge Kalamar from this, Jedi."
"Difficult not to." She initiated comm to the Peacemaker, asked if there were any communications from Tython or elsewhere. There were none.
"Next bout's beginning," Tree said, and this time his distaste was obvious.
Perhaps he downed his rough wine to dull his senses. He was becoming more of an enigma than ever. In the pit, a wretched-looking Cathar, naked but for the spiked manacles around his wrists, stood shivering. And as three barred gates were opened, and human-sized, gray-skinned creatures slithered shrieking through curtains of fire, Lannery was reminded of the second time she had saved her brother's life. heading south across the Strafe Plains towards Stavkesh, Lannery hopes that she and Dale will find common ground. Away from Thyre and the silent desert, even she breathes a sigh of relief, though in their time at Kigongkesh, she made great advances in her understanding of Force skills. She tingles with the Force. Her mind is awash with it. Yet she has to remember her promise to her parents. This journey is as much for Dale as for her. "Getting colder," she says.
"Good. I like the cold."
Dale is quiet, but when they do talk, she senses no animosity from him. Perhaps he is just thinking things through, trying to settle himself, find balance. "I wish Mother and Father were here," Lannery thinks, "because they might be able to make sense of their son." Since leaving Kigongkesh, he has seemed much more at peace, and she hopes this is a good sign. Their journey to the southern coast of Thyre was an interesting one, meeting people on the way, sharing stories with journeyers undertaking their great journey in the opposite direction, and having the opportunity to see some of Tython's great sights. And once at the coast, the great Cloud Chaser Airport was a wonder to behold. High on the cliffs above the roaring ocean, they sat together to watch several big airships launch, drifting down and out across the ocean in silent majesty. Their turn had come, and the flight south to the tumultuous continent of Cato Zakar had been their last chance to rest. Cato Zakar was often referred to as the Firelands because of its extremes of volcanic activity. But much of this volcanism was located in the continent's heartlands, almost 3,200 kilometers south of the coast where they landed. Their destination was much closer. In the high mountains almost 500 kilometers inland lay Stavkesh, the temple of martial arts. The Strafe Plains are a tough, cold environment, wind-swept scrubland prone to frequent localized force storms and scattered with leaning columns of ice-sharp silica and dangerous magma-filled swallow holes that can appear without warning. Molded largely by the elemental force itself, the Strafe Plains are a manifestation of what draws every living thing together. The force as a tactile thing. Powerful. Sharp. As the landscape rises steadily into the high mountains, Lannery remains alert, watching the wildlife of the Strafe Plains. It's said that the common spinner birds can sense a swallow hole's imminent emergence and that they will fly spirals around any area about to erupt. But it is not a hole.